kindness to us. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day to come and worship. And now, Father, I ask that if you would just move through the power of your Holy Spirit on each and every heart here. Lord, regardless of what people brought in here, decisions they made last week, last year, I pray, Lord, you begin to help them make sense of the results of that. Father, if people are facing major decisions this week, give them wisdom now from the Holy Spirit. Father, just speak to them and give them wisdom. Lord, those who are walking in here with a bunch of questions, if they're wondering if you care, Holy Spirit, make it known to them clearly that we have a God who loves them so much. Lord, if there are people walking in here that are condemning themselves, shaming themselves, they've made some bad choices and they just can't get up, Lord, I pray you speak to them and help them get up. Father, I thank you what the Bible says, that someone can fall seven times, but a righteous man, six times, but a righteous man rises seven. That means they keep getting up. So, Father, help them get up. Lord, if people are here with health issues, we know that you're a healer, God. That's who you are. You do that. So I pray now that through the power of the Holy Spirit, those who need physical healing will experience that even right now, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. Father, we're going to turn and look at your word now. Pray that you would open our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, without your movement here, it's just a talk, it's just a speech. So we're asking you to come now in power and presence and take these words and put in the hearts and the minds of people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids, let's tell them we love them. Pretty good crowd. Pretty good crowd. Pretty good crowd. Hunter, you are up for the job, brother. I know you are. Hey, baby doll. Good to see you. I love you. Well, if you've been traveling with us a little bit over the last few weeks, we've been going through a series called Let It Go. And here's what we know. 2018 ended just a while back, and some of you had great 2018. Some of your 2018 maybe wasn't as good as you wanted it to be. But here's what we all know. Your 2019 can be the best year ever. But there are some things probably that are hanging on from 2018 that you got to let it go. You've got to let it go. You just got to let go of it. And we've talked about a bunch of stuff, and today we're going to talk about something that statistically will impact almost everyone in this room, and that is stress. Let go of stress. Anybody want to just say amen and go home? Yeah, well, you're not going home. All right. But it's true. I mean, stress affects all of us. Statistically, they say that 80% of the people in America will experience profound times of stress at some point. Another statistic says at any one time in America, 50% of the people are experiencing stress or increasing stress that is impacting their life in a profound way. Now, we know stress has a physical effect on your body. What I'm going to give you a list of things that medical science absolutely knows that stress impacts. These are the for sures. For sure, it's going to impact your blood pressure. I mean, how many of you could get an amen on that? Drive in Jacksonville or I-4, the big parking lot down there in Orlando? How many people know that parking lot will increase your blood pressure? Anybody? Yeah, absolutely. And it will also probably develop some colorful metaphors in your vocabulary, right? Yeah, perhaps if it gets that bad. So it does. It's going to increase your blood pressure. The other thing is heart disease. Stress impacts heart disease. Impacts obesity, diabetes. Stress can actually help you develop or cause you to develop diabetes, or it can impact your diabetes and cause your diabetes to get worse. It is a horrible, horrible thing. Now, John 10:10 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, now the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, some folks want to take that and say, okay, what Jesus is saying is that's about abundance, that's about money, stuff, and things. So Jesus came so everybody has more money, stuff, and things. Okay, that's not correct. Now, there are times when God will bless you with money, stuff, and things. There are situations where God will give you a new job, a new opportunity, give you wisdom and insight, or you create something or invent something, and God blesses you with money, stuff, and things. Certainly, that's a possibility. But what Jesus is talking about here is he wants to give you a life that is above the natural. Now, the cool word about that is, and just follow with me, the cool word about being above natural is supernatural. It means above the natural. Jesus wants to give you a life that causes you to be able to elevate above all the natural problems that exist in life. He wants to give you a supernatural, an above natural existence. He wants you to be able to elevate and to go above. But stress is one of those things that wait for us every time we walk out the door. Every time we get in the car, we think stress is just going to just go right out the window, but it doesn't work that way. Now, we have to admit, before we go any further, that stress often comes. There's two avenues that stress comes into our life. One avenue is the things that we can control, the decisions we make, the choices we make, the things we don't do that are right, the things we know that are wrong, but we do them anyway. That can begin to usher stress into our life. So in one respect, stress can come into our life by our choices. Some of you may be sitting here today going, oh, yeah, man, I got that. I made some horrible choices back in the day, and, man, it's just really bringing some stress into my life today. That happens. I've definitely had my share of bad choices, and it's brought stress into my life, so I'm with you. You know, I get it. So that's one way stress comes. But another way stress comes is through things outside of your control. And just the fact that it's outside of your control is going to bring stress into some people's life. Can I get an amen? I'm good with what I can control, but get outside my control, and man, my stress, that's why I've been afraid of flying all these years, because, you know, you get into an airplane and go in the back, and you got a couple of folks up there flying, you don't know what they're doing, they're drinking coffee, they're playing rummy, I mean, I don't know, playing dominoes, who knows what they're doing, right? And so it sort of freaks me out a little bit, you know, sometimes to fly, but there are things that come into our lives that are certainly outside of our control. Your job gets downsized. It gets shipped overseas. You can't control that. But you're stuck with facing the results. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, hey, here's your test result. Not what we wanted, not what we hoped. You're forced with facing the results of that. You know, you have kids, and your kids go off to school, and they call you in the middle of the night with this problem, that problem, that you're 2.5 hours away, and you can't fix. Think that's happened in my house? Absolutely. And you can't reach out there and fix it. It's outside of your control. So stress, stress starts at an early age. It's really interesting. Those of us who've had a few birthdays, let me ask you this, because yeah, I've had a few birthdays, and some of you have had a few birthdays. When we were kids, do you ever remember stress? I mean, the most stressful thing is who's going to win in the pickup baseball game. I mean, seriously, you know, do I get Joe instead of Bob on my team, right? Because if I get Joe, he can hit real good, so I'm going to win. I mean, that was the biggest stress thing we went through. But now, and it's true, with the onslaught of information, the ready access of the internet, you got, you know, access to all kinds of information and messages and signals that come through. Our kids, at a very young age, are beginning to experience stress. They are really beginning to have psychosocial problems because of the stress that they experience. Now, that was really hard for me to accept because I think, man, they're just kids. But my two terms on the school board taught me one thing, talking and listening to teachers and administrators. Our kids are coming to school today, if they're not protected from some of that information, with more stress than we faced until we were, you know, adults. And that's just an incredibly sad thing. And you see, Jesus came to give us this life, this abundant life, this fulfilled life, this life that is supernatural, that is above the natural, that we can live in and we can exist in. And so stress doesn't rob us of what Jesus brought to give us. And so how do we get to that point? Well, we get to that point, and it's found in Philippians chapter 4. So if you have your device or your Bible or whatever, you could turn to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, let me explain to you sort of how the structure of the verses are, because it's pretty cool how it's laid out. The first couple of verses gives us sort of attitudes and actions to begin to get in our heart and our mind. Then in the middle of it, it tells us, it's sort of the key verses, the key point, right? And it's the big pow. It's what it's all about. And then after that, it gives us some steps to take that ensures we can live this above natural life, to be sure. So in Philippians chapter 4, look at what the Apostle Paul says, beginning in chapter 4. It says, now rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice means to be glad. It means to be happy. It means to have joy, to be filled with joy. So Paul starts by saying, look, here's the attitude you got to have. You have to have a joy-filled attitude. And you're thinking, Terry, how do I have a joyful attitude when I live in a world of knuckleheads? Knucklehead, I know knucklehead is a gene. It's a genetic thing because I see it passed on from father to son, right? I see it. It's a genetic knucklehead. It's got to be a gene, right? It's got to be a gene, and I know it's out there. And how can I have joy living with these genetically predisposed knuckleheads? Well, there's a way. See, joy isn't based on circumstances. It's not based on you. It's based on the reality of God and Christ in you. See, we're robbed of our joy because we forget oftentimes who's in charge. We just forget. Situations come, circumstances come, stress heaps in, life falls apart. And in the middle of all of that, it's easy to say, oh my, rather than, I'm going to trust the Lord. We don't rejoice because the God who has it all in control, we don't really know that well. Now, I'm not being ugly today. I'm just saying a lot of you could, you know, Jeopardy comes up and you have the God category in Jeopardy and you can get at least half of them right. And, you know, you laugh at the ones up there. Oh, you didn't go to Sunday school, right? I mean, and so, you know, you could sort of get, you know, most of the Jeopardy category stuff right. But at the end of the day, do you really know the God who can give joy in your life when everything falls apart? Because if you know this God at all, here's what you get. Romans chapter 8 is true. That says this. God causes all things to work together to the good, to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. He didn't say all things were good. The reality right now is there's stressful situations in your life that are not good. There are things going on in your life that are not good. We can't be, you know, we can't stick our head in the sand and pretend what's bad is good. That's not rational. That doesn't help. There are situations in your life right now that are horrible, that are not good. People walked out on you. People rejected you. You've lost your job. Your health is bad. Your kids have gone off the rails, right? I mean, something's gone on in your life. Maybe you've had control. Maybe you're reaping the results of decisions you made years ago, and the reaping is just not really good. It's just not fun. And so you're sitting here going, man, this is just not a great thing. And they're bad. So let's just say it like it is. They're bad. But God is bigger than the situation that is bad. And if you know the scriptures, if you know the Father, if you know who he is, this is what, hey, this is a big old giant right here, but God's a giant killer. He's just bigger. And what that allows you to do is to get some joy in your life. It's to say, there is a God. He's bigger than me. He's got it under control. I might be stressing, but he's not. You do know that, right? I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, second grade Sunday school. But just because you think life is falling apart doesn't mean God's falling apart. Are y'all with me? Right? So just because you think everything is chaos and calamity and nothing's making sense, that doesn't mean God thinks that. God is transcendent. He is holy. He is perfect. He is above and beyond all of that. And just because everything's spiraling apart here, that doesn't impact the unchangeable, perfect, eternal God. He doesn't change. Now, some of you should smile at that because your life is falling out of control and God's still in control. Amen? Man, that's a wonderful thing. It sure is. So the first thing is we have to have joy. Man, when you wake up in the morning, remind yourself who's in charge, and it's not you. Remind yourself there is a God who loves you, who cares about you, who's in charge, that even though he may not change your circumstance, he's going to be with you through it. You are not going to walk alone. You are never alone if you know Christ today. You are not walking alone. You're saying, Terry, everything is horrible, but listen, that might be true, but you're not alone. When you lie down at night and the room is dark and you're alone with your thoughts, you're alone with your dreams, you're alone with your fears. We have those. You're not alone. The God of creation is with you. He hears you. He knows you. He loves you. You are not alone. That in itself should give us great reason to rejoice and to rejoice all the time. And so Paul says that's where we got to start. We got to start rejoicing. Now look what he says next. He said, here's the second aspect of our attitude. He said, now let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. This word reasonableness could be translated mildness, gentleness, or in our, you know, 21st century, balance. Balance. Keep your balance. Keep your reasonableness. When stressful times come, keep on balance. Here's what we know about stress. When stress comes into your life and all these situations cave in on you, it shuts down your ability to creatively think. Now, about 20 years ago, computer companies figured this out. because they're in an industry where you have to consistently be ahead of the competition in a creative way. Because if you're not, someone's going to pop up and take your business from you, right? And so we sort of laugh at this, but if you look at the computer companies out west and wherever they are that demand and really depend on creative thought and creative problem solving, they try to create stress-free environments for people to work in. You show up, you get a reclining chair. You don't have a chair rolling around on that thing. You get a recliner, right? You want a three-hour lunch? Take a three-hour lunch, right? You need a cappuccino? You got somebody to go get it for you. And they try to de-stress your life. You need to take a walk outside? They have, you can go online and look at this. They have nature walks. You could just say, I got to have a break. I'm going to take a nature walk. So you just go out and take a nature walk, look at the birds, the squirrels, you know, whatever out there, and come back in, and you're de-stressed. And here's what they found. It truly opens up your mind to be more engaged, to be more productive, and to be more creative. So obviously God knows that because he created us. So here in Philippians, God says, look, let your attitude be one of reasonableness. Be gentle. Be balanced. Be in control. When stress comes, stay calm. Just stay calm, because it opens up the door in your mind to creative solutions. Now, stress will rob you of that if you're not careful. You will absolutely shut down and not be able to think. How many have had stress lock up your mind and your ability to think and reason? You ever been there? All of us have been there. Stress comes up and it just locks you down, man. You can't process. You got to get away. Well, Paul says, rejoice all the time. And then second, keep your balance. Because if not, it's going to shut down your creative thought. The second thing it's going to shut down is your relationships. When stress comes into your life, if you get off balance, it's going to affect your relationships. How many of you have walked in and talked to somebody? Maybe you've had some good news to your boss. Hey, boss, we just signed that deal. We got $10 million. What? Shut up. Get out of my office. I just said we got $10 million. I don't care. You came in the door. You ever seen stuff like that? Have you ever seen people so stressed that good news is even bad news? You ever seen that? It's amazing, isn't it? Because stress will affect your relationships. When stress comes into your life and you don't stay balanced like Scripture says, you don't stay gentle like Scripture says, you don't keep a good approach like Scripture says, you will begin to sever relationships. Relationships will begin to fall away. You cannot have a relationship meaningful with someone who's wound tight every day of their life. It will absolutely wear you out. It just will. And that's a result of stress. So, stress, when it comes into your life, can do these things. But Paul says, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to rejoice, and I want you to stay calm. I want you to stay reasonable, because the Lord is at hand. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the big verse. Are you ready? Here it is in verse 6. Now, do not be anxious about anything. That word anxious, stressed. Don't be anxious about anything. Yeah, I got to pay the bills tomorrow. Well, don't be anxious about it. Well, I got to get this promotion. Great. Don't be anxious about it. My kids are going nuts and they're away at school. Okay. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be stressed about it. Because what can you do by internalizing circumstances and situations that you can't fix? What have you actually accomplished? Anybody want to help me with that? Not a thing. You've accomplished nothing. When you can't control it, let it go. You have to. And Paul says, look, be anxious about nothing. Well, all right, Terry. This was the Apostle Paul. Okay. And I know what you're thinking. It's the Apostle Paul, right? Knows the Lord, walked with the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, seen all these unbelievable, cast demons out, you know, all the. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. Of course, the Apostle Paul would say, don't be anxious. Can I give you a little insight on where he was when he wrote this? He was in jail. He was in prison. He wasn't sure if he was going to live or die. He wasn't sure what the results were going to be. And in prison back then, it's not like prison today, okay? If you got fed, somebody brought you food. If you had clothing, someone brought you clothing. If you had any comfort at all, someone provided that to you. The Roman government and the Jewish folks didn't feel responsible to take care of their prisoners at all. So here was a guy who was in an abject poverty situation, who was in total control, who said this, don't stress. Don't be anxious about anything. Just don't do it. Now, Paul had learned something by this point. He had learned the things he could control. He was going to be reasonable. He was going to have a joyful heart. He was going to be a balanced guy, and he was going to make decisions. But he also knew the things he couldn't control, the things he couldn't help go to a desired end, he wasn't going to bother himself with. Here's a good word for some of you today. You want stress out of your life? Keep your nose in your own business. And the offering plates are being passed. Keep your nose in your own business. God does not give you the grace to carry somebody else's business. God has not called you to be somebody else's Holy Spirit. God has not called you to be somebody else's master, ruler, and dictator. Keep your nose in your own business. If you will do that, it's amazing how much stress leaves your life. And you know that? When you look at people to bless them rather than to correct them, when you look at people to encourage them rather than to discourage them or criticize who they are and what's going on, when you begin to look at people as objects of grace and kindness and love, when you begin to approach people like that, you know what? It's amazing how much joy comes back your way. Because there's this little principle in Galatians chapter 6 called sowing and reaping, right? Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If you want to reap joy, you want to reap love, you want to reap a balanced life, you want to reap good relationships, then sow those seeds. It's real simple. You sow the seeds that you want to harvest. You want to harvest seeds of love and kindness? Sow that. You want to reap friendships that are meaningful and purposeful? Sow that. You want to reap a calmness and a joy-filled life? Then sow those seeds. Because in due time, you'll reap what they produce. Paul said, don't be anxious about anything. He's sitting in prison, not knowing if he's going to live or die. He had learned a few things about de-stressing and not being anxious. And then he goes on, so we've sort of led up to the big punch. Boom, there it is, don't be anxious. And now he gives us some simple guidance, just one thing to do that has two parts. That said, if you'll do this, something unbelievable is going to happen in your life. You need something unbelievable to happen? You need to do these two things. Look at what he says next. Now, what he says next is this. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, and he means everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So he says this, you've got to pray. And he breaks it down into two points. He said, first of all, pray in a general sense. Everybody knows there's certain aspects of prayer. When we come to the Lord, we're to adore God. We're to tell him how great he is, right? We're to confess our sins. We're to confess those. We're to be heavily involved in thanksgiving. And he says it here just to emphasize it. When you pray, never pray without a thanksgiving portion of your prayer. If I could give you any guidance today on your prayer life, always have a thanksgiving portion. God has always blessed you in some way. God has always done something great in your life in some way. There's always something to be thankful about. There just really is. When your whole world's falling apart, there's something to be thankful for. And so here's what you do. You go to the Lord adoring him. God, you're great. You're holy. You're perfect. Man, you never end. And I want to thank you for who you are. Then you confess your sins. I'm not going to confess mine to you right now, so forget it. Right? So you confess your sins. And then you have thanksgiving, man. Then you thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for my health. I thank you for, I mean, you've got a list to be thankful for if you just think about it a minute, right? And then he mentions the last part of prayer, but he mentions it very specifically. He said you're to pray, and then you take your supplications. Supplications are requests. Those are the needs and the wants. And you need to pray specifically. I mean, it's interesting how we sort of get in a hurry with our prayers. God, life's falling apart, so just help. That's great. I mean, that's better than not praying. But spend some time and pray specifically. Lord, I am stressed out here. Things are falling apart. I've got this problem. I've got this problem. I've got this problem. Name the problems. You're like, Terry, I don't want to bother God. Really? He made you. He saved you. He is perfect. He is holy. He is transcendent. He has got unlimited power and resources. You're not bothering your heavenly Father. Hello? You're not bothering him. So list out what the problems are. God, I've got a problem with this. I've got a problem with this. I got a problem with this. And matter of fact, since we're praying, I got a problem with this person. I got a problem with that person. You know, I got a problem with this thing. And just be honest. You're saying, well, wait a minute. Isn't that negative? Yep. But it's honest. You don't get better unless you're first honest. You don't manage stress until you're first honest. You don't move ahead until you're first honest. You've got to be honest with the Lord. You've got to be honest with the Father. You have to be. Because here's what happens. When you begin to get honest, the next thing that comes into your life is humility. And God draws near a humble heart. He resists the proud, Scripture says, but he draws near the humble. And so you got to be honest. And then humility will come into your life. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to start talking about these stressful situations. God, here they all are. Boom. You lay them out before the Lord. And if you've done the first part well, you've stayed positive, you've had a joy-filled heart and life, man, you're rejoicing in the Lord, you've stayed balanced in your response, you've stayed balanced in how you handle things, you know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to start speaking to your heart and mind, and creative solutions to your problems are going to start to come. Creative outgrowths are going to start to happen. God's going to start showing you how to navigate those circumstances and situations. And it's not that they're going to get better. They may not change at all, but your navigation through them is going to be so much better and so much more productive, and it's going to de-stress so many areas of your life. So here's what Paul says, sitting in jail. He says, rejoice. All the time. Don't know if you're going to get food tomorrow? Neither do I. Rejoice. Don't know if you're going to die tomorrow? Neither do I. Rejoice. Not sure when you go to sleep tonight if a rat's going to run across your head? I don't know either. Rejoice. Right? Oh, yeah. Now, every lady in this room hates me. Because that image, they're going to go to bed tonight. I got rats on my head. Sorry about that. So you rejoice. And then Paul, sitting in jail, not a perfect spot. Hey, look, he's not being Pollyannish here. He's not saying, oh, I'm by the Sea of Galilee, you know, having a glass of, you know, a cup of tea and just watching the waves. He's not doing that. I mean, he's in jail. And so then he says, after you rejoice, stay balanced. Don't let stress push you away from a balanced, gentle, kind life. Don't let it, because here's what's going to happen. Listen, here's what's going to happen. If you've got a big problem, you're going to need people to help you. And if you let stress impact you and affect you, you're going to push people away, and you're going to build barriers, and nobody's coming to the table to help. That's what happens when stress takes over. So Paul says, look, here's the deal, man. Just stay calm. Then he says it, all right, and I'm going to say it directly to you. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be stressful. And then he says, here's the antidote. Pray. Pray specifically. That's what supplication means. Pray specifically. And here's what's going to happen. When you believe the God you're praying to, you got to believe him, you got to know him, you got to believe him. When you believe the God you're praying to, and you take time to connect with him through prayer, you can walk away from that moment, leaving your stress with him. And you can live better. Now, I tell you, this is an abundant life. It's a life that is supernatural. It's a life that is above the norm. And your Heavenly Father has that for you. But you only get it through the person of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And the power of the Holy Spirit working in you and around you and with you. Pray with me, if you will. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed up, the most important part of this talk is this. You got to know God to have access to any of this. You got to be a Christian. You got to know Christ. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, but God's awakened faith in you today, you know now for the first time, wait a minute, I've known about God, which is good, but I haven't really known God. But today something has changed in my heart and my life. God has caused me to believe today. and I want my life to change. Then here's what you do. Just right there where you are, just pray this. Just pray, hey, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you were dead in the grave for 3 days. On the third day, I believe you bodily resurrected from the grave. And right now, I declare you Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. I ask you to come in and change my heart and change my life. Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Please forgive me of my sins as I turn from them right now. Now, if you prayed that or something like that this morning, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that. Okay, here's what the Bible says now. The Bible says that after you repent and turn from your sins, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So after the service, we're going to be done in just a couple minutes. I'm going to be up here. Pastor Ryan's going to be up here. We would love to talk to you about your next steps, about following the Lord in believer's baptism. Please do not leave today without talking to us. If you don't have a Bible, we want to get you a Bible. If you have a device, if you want to show us how to, we could get you a free download of a Bible app. You need to have some way to connect with God through His Word. That's just how it works. You got to have that. So we want to help you with that before you walk out the door today. Second, how many of you say just, and again, we're family here, so this isn't, I hope you feel that. I hope you sense that. We love you. So I hope you really sense that this is a family. If you're here today and you say, you'd say, you know what, Terry, I have had so many stressors in 2018. I've got to have a break in 2019. I have to find a way to live above stress. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? Just slip up your hand. Oh, all over this room. All over this room. Thank you. Thank you. All over this room. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. Thank you. Thank you. And then finally, some of you have learned to live above stress. You've been on that journey for a while, and you do pretty good at that. But you know some people who don't. I wonder if you would take a minute and ask the Lord to show you how you could be a blessing to them. How can you be a blessing to someone who just can't live above the stress? Can you maybe just say, Lord, I'm not perfect at this, but you've given me some grace in this area, and I want to share that with someone else. I want to help somebody else live above that level of stress. I want them to have that supernatural, that above natural living. I wonder if you just ask God to show you maybe who to help with that. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Father, for the first group, those who said that they've prayed to receive you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, we thank you for that. And Father, I pray that they'll have the courage and they'll be motivated by you, Holy Spirit, to come forward and talk about baptism. We need to help them with that. Jesus, you said to repent, turn from your sins, and be baptized. So, Lord, it's not an option. It's a requirement. So, Lord, for obedience. So, Lord, I just pray that you would move them forward afterwards and let us help them take that next step. And now, Father, for those who said there's a lot of stress in 18, but they got to get rid of it in 19, would you please help them, Lord, walk free from that, even right now? Holy Spirit, show them how to do it, even right now. In Jesus' name, help them now. So they can live that supernatural life, that above natural existence, Jesus, that you want to bring into their life through the power and person of the Holy Spirit. Help them, Father, now. Lord, we thank you for those who are going to reach out to others and be a blessing in their life because you've brought them through the stressful times. You've shown them how to live above that. And now they're going to take what they've learned and be a blessing to others. Lord, I pray that they'll be open to those opportunities on a daily basis. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you. Ushers, come on forward. Right, come on up. Ushers, come on forward. As the ushers come forward to receive our morning tithes and offerings, a couple of things for you. If you choose to give electronically, right here's the code for you. You can just take a picture of that. It'll take you to our website, and you can give online. So that's always available to you if you choose to give electronically. A lot of people do. So there that is for you. We give here at Grace for three reasons. We give because Jesus is Lord. Amen. We give because the gospel is the most important message in the world. Amen. And we give because this is a clear biblical way for your heart to move closer to the Lord. The Bible says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So by giving, your heart moves closer to the Lord. We want you to be closer to the Lord. So we give you the opportunity to do that. Okay? If you're a guest, don't forget. Ryan mentioned this at the beginning of the service, communication card. Please put that in the offering plate. If you're not finished with it, put it in one of the boxes as you leave. And don't forget, please, please, please give us your prayer request. Thank you for doing this. I prayed through them today. It helps us so much to know what's going on in your life and how to pray for you. We don't know if you don't say. So this is how you could tell us how to pray for you. Okay? Let's go to the Lord. Father, as we give now, I pray we give generously, joyfully, with rejoicing in our hearts, Father, because you are a great God. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. A couple of quick announcements for you. Don't forget, life groups are meeting tonight, and they're doing really well. We're having a great time with that. If you're looking for a way to kind of connect and kind of grow a little bit more relationally with people, life groups are an amazing way to do that. We take the sermon from the morning and just kind of talk through it a little bit more about how does that apply to our lives. If you're looking for a group to get into, my wife is over here. Jen, raise your hand for me real quick. She's over here. She would love to help you connect into one of our life groups. We've got them all the way from Satsuma all the way into Interlaken and in the city as well, East Palatka. So we would love for you to join in and be a part of those. Parents, if you would, just make sure that you look at some of these youth announcements that are in here. The second payment for camp is coming up next week. There's also a texting group in there for you to join. Students, you can join that as well. I send out sometimes little reminders and encouragements. We'd love to do that for you. Again, thank you for your support, church, and our students. For those of you who came in late, we raised right now, kind of the rough estimate is right about $1,600 is what we cleared last night from our dinner. So served 90 steaks, and they were nice, healthy portions. Thank you, Scott Gett, for cutting those steaks for us. We love our partners. Hitchcock's partners with us and every year, and so it's an amazing thing. Beef O'Brady's and Golden Corral donated stuff to us as well, so thank you to the community. So when you go to these places, thank them for loving on our kids and loving on our community, because they are all a part of that. So we just want to say thank you. Wednesday nights are going. Please make sure, if you're looking for a great place to be on Wednesday night, just a place to get refueled and recharged and refocused for the week, Wednesday nights are great. I'm hearing amazing things coming out of the adult Bible study. The youth were not so great. It's horrible upstairs. Just kidding. We actually have worship back this week. So it was really good. Yeah, worship was back. So keep inviting your friends. We love you guys. Thank you for being here.
Great. Thanks. Couple things. Wednesday night is going phenomenal. Thank you guys so much for coming out and supporting. For those of you who may not know, we're filming right now for what we're going to be calling Grace Academy. It will be available on a YouTube channel this fall. We're doing the filming right now on Wednesday nights. So every Wednesday night when you come to Bible study, it's being filmed, and that's going to be saved, and it's going to be put out on a YouTube channel this fall for people to go through and take tests. And yes, I said tests. Right, that take tests, and it'll be a fun time for everyone to learn and to grow. We'll be finishing up the book of John. That will finish our study in the Gospels this week. We're going to take a couple of weeks off. We'll be having a membership class on Wednesday night. One of the Wednesday nights will be in the program next week because some can't come on the weekends. We have them on Saturdays typically. So we're going to offer this one midweek for those of you who haven't been able to come. And then we'll take a couple of weeks off, and then we'll start back on the book of Acts. We'll take about 4 weeks going through the book of Acts. That'll be our next module that we film. So want to encourage you to come out. If you can't come every Wednesday night, but we're just trying to keep you informed, because if there's a book of the Bible or subject area that you're interested in, at least commit to that time. So if you're interested in the book of Acts, how the church started and all the cool things that happened, we'll be looking at that in a couple weeks. But hey, we're covering all the miracles in the Gospel of John this Wednesday night. There's 7 major sign miracles. If you're sort of wondering why Jesus did miracles and what's the big deal, come Wednesday night, we're going to be talking about that for sure. So please come and be a part of that. Any other announcements before we're done? Denise, we're good? Anything else? All right, stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And thank you guys for coming. Please come back next week. We're still in the Let It Go sermon series. You let go of stress today. We'll be talking some more next week. Bring somebody with you, please. Bring somebody with you. If you're a guest, I pray you have felt loved. I pray you have felt wanted. I pray you have felt welcome. I pray this just feels like family to you. If it doesn't, let me know how we can do better, because we sure want to do that. We love you so much. Let's pray. Well, Father, we love you and we thank you for today. And now, Father, as we leave, help us to be ever mindful that we represent you every single day. Lord, when stress caves in, may we be quick to detail it to you, because you're a Father who cares and who can. Help us do that. Father, bless these your people this week. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. See you next week. Wednesday night, I hope. Hey, Dave.